If you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to Exodus 20. Again, I sound like a broken record as I've been saying this for the past 6 weeks here. If you've been with us, you know that we're in the middle of a series titled OS X Commandments, the Operating System for the Christian Life. And this really is the operating system for us as Christians. God gave us these commands for that reason. And it's a series that's taking us through, week by week, through each of the Ten Commandments. And the deeper we get into these commandments, the more we realize they are all about God's love for us, how much He loves us. He gave them to us because He didn't want to, not because He wanted to be this ruler that loves to put these things in place to make our life miserable. He gave them to us because He loves us and wants to protect us from the hurts and pains that happen when we fail to live out these commands. And so 5 weeks ago, we started with the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me." And we talked again about the fact that God wants to be number one in our life. He wants to be first. And it's because He created us. He created us. He loves us. And He knows there isn't anyone or anything that can care for us more than He can. And so when we put other things in front of Him, it keeps Him from doing His job of caring for us the way He designed us to be cared for. Then next, we talked about the second commandment. "You shall not make for yourself any idols or images." And we went an interesting route on this. We talked about how we create in our own minds these idols or images of what we want God to be, right? And in doing that, we end up putting God in this box. We end up limiting Him and what He's capable of doing. And that becomes the image that we worship. We worship this little puny God over here when we have this big, vast, amazing God that we need to be worshiping. And then next we tackle the third commandment that says, "You shall not take the Lord's name in vain." And we talked about the importance of not only how we speak the name of the Lord, because that's how we all know it, but also how we carry His name. Because as Christians, we carry the name of Christ. And so when we don't represent Him well, then we are literally taking His name in vain. Then the next week we unpack the fourth commandment, to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And we talked about just our need for rest. And not just any kind of rest, right? But where we really rest in the Lord. Where we spend time with Him regularly to refresh and to recharge in and through Him. And then last week we talked about honoring our parents. And for some of us, this is easier than others. But it's a command given to all of us. Regardless of what kind of parents we had. And this was the one that I mentioned. It was hard for me last week, not because I had amazing parents, but it's hard for me to imagine people that didn't have that. But we honor them best by learning to love them and by forgiving them so that our lives and our relationships aren't affected by their failures. Because a lot of times when we can't learn to love and forgive those closest to us, it affects our whole lives. So now this week, we're looking at the sixth commandment. And it's found in verse 13 of Exodus 20. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me, but follow quickly because it's four words that we're going to read this morning. All right? It simply says this. Verse 13, "You shall not murder." Well, I don't think any of us have that problem, so we can pack up and go home, right? No, I don't think so. If it were only that easy. The thing is, whether we realize it or not, we have all failed at this command. What? Me? No way. I'm not a murderer. Well, this morning as we walk into this, I have a few questions that I want to answer as we kind of dive into this command. The first question is this, is why? Why did God give us this command? You know, what is it really about? And the second question is, what does God mean by this word murder, by not murdering? How can I say that we've all failed at this command? So let's start with the first question. Why did God give us this command? And I think for us to answer this question, I think we have to go back to the beginning of the Bible. We have to go back to Genesis. at the very beginning, chapter 1, verses 26 through 27, as God began to create man, he says this. Let me read it to you, or you can see it up on screen. Genesis 1, 26 through 27 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground.'" So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him. You see, when you look at the scripture, we're different from any other creature that walks or crawls or swims, you know, or flies or whatever across the face of the earth. And that difference is that each of us as human beings were created in the image of God. And that reality alone makes every individual life significant. God put great value into human life when he made us in his image. And the last thing he wants us doing is taking the life of one another. The last thing he wants us doing is killing each other, especially something that he cares about so deeply because we are created in his image. So from the very beginning, he wanted us to see the value of each person. No life is greater than that of another. And God wants us to understand this truth. When we murder, we devalue the lives that God has created. We begin to play God as we take the sanctity of human life into our own hands. And as we have seen in the world around us, that can be a pretty scary thing, right? I mean, just watch 10 minutes of the news, and we see what murder can do to our world and to our society. Now, let me say this. When we look at the news and all these things, God's not surprised by what we see going on around in this world. He knows very well how far humanity has fallen. He knew this morning what last night's news last night. And he already knows what violence and horror will be on the news tomorrow and a week from now and so on and so on. He knows that the violence and horror seen in this world are a result of his people failing to live out his commands. It's a result of his people devaluing the lives of others. But through this command, God wants us to remember that we were all created in his image and that every human life has value. And none of us have the right to devalue it. That is why he's given us this command. But I think in order for us to really now live out this command, because you're like, well, I wouldn't hurt anybody in that way. But in order for us to really live out this command, we have to answer the second question. What does God mean by the word murder? And there's a couple different things he means by this. What is he saying to us when it comes to living out this command in our lives each day? Well, I want to start with the most obvious, the physical act of killing or taking the life of another human being, right? That's what we know from the beginning. If you were to take the life of another human being, that's murder. We see it in the news every day. People ending the life of someone else because they have what? Decided to be God. They have given themselves permission to do what only God has the right to do. They've decided whether someone's life should end or not end. Now, we all know that. When we think of murder, that's immediately where our minds go to. But besides the act of violence and murder we see on the news, this command causes us to take a look at some of a little bit deeper into this. And it brings us to actually some hot topics that have been causing conflict and division throughout our nation for years. And I want to just say this, just because it's a touchy subject for many, It doesn't mean that I'm not going to talk about it, because when we dive into God's Word, it's about speaking the truth. What does God's Word say to us for today? And so sometimes I've known pastors or leaders that they steer away from these sticky subjects. But if God brought us to this place, I can't steer away from it. See, God gave us these commands for a reason, and just because our society tries to water down the truth and justify their actions, it doesn't mean that it's okay. We've talked about this with other commands, how the world says this is okay. Well, this is okay, and God says, no. If you want to follow my commands, this is not okay. When we take the life of someone else, even our own life, we are crossing that line of playing God. And two ways that I believe our society is guilty when it comes to this command, the two hot topics, abortion and assisted suicide. You see, both of these acts devalue human life. Both of these acts take the life of a human being. Now, I'm not going to go real deep into these topics this morning. I could sit here and go one side or the other and talk through this whole thing. Other than just saying this, that I believe that both of them violate the sixth commandment. But if you have questions, okay, or would like to find out more about my beliefs, my convictions on these matters, then I want you to know, feel free, you can come and talk to me here after the service. You can set up an appointment with me. I'd love to sit down and share with you my heart, my thought through these. Because some of you may say, well, what about this situation? Well, what about this? Isn't there a situation here? Isn't it? I would love to talk with you. I'm not going to go in depth to that this morning. But I would love, if you have questions like that, I would love to sit down with you and talk with you. And so again, if it's coming up and set an appointment with me, come and talk to me afterwards. I'm willing to do that. But I'm not going to go into real detail this morning. But I do want to say this on these topics. If you have had an abortion, please know that we are not here to condemn you in any way. We understand that we all have failed. We have all fallen short. And this church is about grace and forgiveness. That's what we are. That's what we represent, because that's what God represents and desires us to represent as the church. We are all about God's grace and forgiveness. We're not here to point finger. We're not here to condemn people. We're about helping people come to know Jesus. We're about helping people discover the truth of God's Word. And that's why I told you I'm going to speak the truth to the best of my knowledge. And I want people to learn His Word and learn how to walk it out. And so my heart this morning in all this, as you've heard that, oh, you hear those words, is I just want to make sure that you understand that. We've all made mistakes we regret. Every one of us in here have made mistakes we regret. And though we can't go back, because I know I've made some big mistakes and I wish I could go back and change them, but though we can't go back, we can always move forward in our relationship with the Lord and who He's called us to be. And so I want to encourage you in that if you fell into that realm. But this command is obviously talking to us about the physical act of taking a human life. And we know that, and we know that situation. But it actually goes beyond that. You see, again, many of us may still be sitting here thinking, well, how does this command really apply to me? I've never done that. I mean, I can't even kill a fly without feeling bad, right? You know, some of you out here are like, come kill this fly. I can't do it, all right? And if that's you, how does this command affect you? How does this command affect many of us? Well, I think to fully understand the depths of this command, we have to take a look at the New Testament and the words of Jesus Christ Himself. What does Jesus say about this commandment? And we find that in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 22. You can turn there. If not, we'll put it up on the screen here. But this is what Jesus says in regard to this commandment. He says, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But," verse 22, "but I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment." Again, anyone who says to his brother, "Raka, you idiot," basically kind of a loose translation, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, "You fool," will be in the danger in danger of the fire of hell. As I was reading and studying this, I read a little article. I can't remember where I came across it, but there was a older woman that was talking about when she was a kid how her mom used this scripture to scare the heebie-jeebies out of her. You know, you just called your brother a fool. You're gonna go to hell if you don't deal with this. You know, and it's not necessarily quite that extreme here. Okay, but as we look at this scripture, we see that Jesus here, he kind of throws us a curveball, doesn't he? He basically says this. He says, this commandment isn't just about our outward physical actions. Because up until this moment, when we heard this command, that's what we thought about. It was that outward physical act of killing someone. But Jesus then points out that it's not just about the outward, it's also about our inward actions. It's about our heart. Let me share another scripture with you. It's found in 1 John 3, verse 15. Listen to this one. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And when it says brother, it's referencing a fellow, a believer of Christ, okay? Another fellow believer. Because we have things like this happen all the time in churches. People in churches fighting against one another, right? It says, if anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. Those are pretty strong words. In these two scriptures, we find a new standard for this commandment. It's not just about the physical act anymore. It goes to the heart. And how many of us have been angry towards another? How many of us have had hatred towards someone else? You see, if our hearts are full of hatred or anger, then we're guilty of the sixth commandment, of violating the sixth commandment, not to murder. Now here's the question, why would God view anger and hatred in this way? Why would He put it in the same, really, come on, the same category as murder? Are you serious? Come on, what? You can't be serious. I can just imagine the disciples sitting there going, you know, it's the Sermon on the Mount, you know, and just going, what? This guy's crazy. Some of the stuff coming out of his mouth is crazy. And it was. But it's truth, and it's God's desire for our lives. Why would He put it in the same category as murder? Well, here's the thing that I think we have to realize. When it comes to God, sin is sin. Oftentimes, we try to downplay the sin in our lives. Well, this sin isn't as bad as this sin, right? I mean, this is just a little white lie. I just called him a fool. No big deal, right? It wasn't that big of a deal. We try to downplay this sin. At least I didn't do this. But you see, I think God wants us to know that sin is sin. The sins of the heart will separate us from God as much as those physical acts of sin that we fail in. And if those sins of the heart continue to move, those are the ones that become the most dangerous for us. Why? Because we don't even realize sometimes they're there. They begin to grow. They begin to kind of creep up on us, right? They start out small. Just this little anger that's whatever it is, right? And that anger begins to build and begins to grow. You see, this is what Paul was warning us about in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. This is what he says. You're familiar with this scripture, many of you. It says, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. You know, what is he saying here? He's saying we need to deal with our anger. We need to deal with our sin, right? Don't let the sun go down. A lot of times we're real good at going, oh, we bury it. And we don't deal with it. And what he's saying now, again, I want to say this because I've done a lot of marriage counseling and stuff I do, and as a matter of fact, I've done more in the last 4 months than I've done like probably previous as we're walking through a bunch of weddings this season. That thing, don't let the sun go down in your anger, I don't believe it means don't go to bed until you get everything straight, right? Because sometimes, like my wife will tell you, like when it's late at night, she's just like, I just need to, I can't, I can't go anymore right now, right? And so it's okay to sleep on it and wake up. The key is that you don't just sleep on it and then don't deal with it. The key is when you get up that next day, you got to deal with it. You got to take care of it. You can't just let it go to the side and fester, because what happens is, yeah, you push it down and you push it down and you push it down, and one of these days your sweet little wife is going to blow up on you, okay? All right? Oh, I'm sorry, honey. I'm sorry. I wasn't meaning to. She's nodding her head up here. She knows what we're talking about. But it's not so much, you know, but we have to deal with it. We can't let it just continue to go on. We have to deal with it. We can't, because here's the thing, if we don't deal with it, we begin to give the devil a foothold in our life, and he begins to use those things, and he keeps jabbing it. Oh yeah, remember he did that, remember that. And then she's like, goes crazy on you. Not really, she didn't do those kind of things. I'm exaggerating it. It's kind of fun. I'm sorry, but no, it's not that bad. Because, you know, for you guys, blowing up for my wife, it's like, you know, to you guys, would be like, that's a blow up? Are you serious? But anyways. But we can't give the devil a foothold, because it causes us to get to that place where then we begin to violate this command, because we're not dealing with it in our lives. We begin to commit, really, murder of the heart. And if we continue reading in Matthew 5, where we read earlier we read verses 21 through 22, and 23 and 24, we see that dealing with these things are so important that God tells us, if you've got issues, I want you to stop worshiping me right now, and I want you to go deal with the issue first, okay? He says this, he says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, meaning if you're there, here, worshiping, praising God, and you remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift there at front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come back and offer your gift to the Lord. And again, I think this comes back to the verse we talked about last week in regard to forgiveness. If you remember, last week we read Matthew 6, 14 and 15, that says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. You see, I think God is saying, this worship to me means nothing because of the sin in your life, the things that you haven't dealt with. You need to go deal with those first so you can come back and your worship will be right and your worship will be pure. You see, the sins of the heart left undealt with will ultimately push us away from God. He knows that, and that's why He tells us that this commandment goes so much deeper than what we thought it went in the first place. You see, the reality is all of us have failed when it comes to this command. And all of us need to make sure that we're continuing to look into the depths of our heart and ask the Lord, is there things in there? Is there anger? Is there hatred? Is there sin at all that I haven't dealt with, that I haven't given to you? We have to deal with the unresolved hurts and pains and anger and hatred and difficulties in our life, because it's these sins of the heart that keep us from experiencing the life that God has for us. That's why this is so important to God. He says, I know many of you aren't the type of murderer that would take a life. But many of you deal with sin in your life, and you have things that are keeping you from experiencing the life I have for you, that are separating you from me. That's what God is saying. I want to finish this morning with this. As Jesus hung on the cross dying, it was interesting because somewhere out there in the crowd, there was a murderer that was watching. A man who had started a rebellion against the Roman rulers in Jerusalem. A man who, in his attempt to bring freedom to the people of Israel, had committed murder in wrong ways and in wrong acts. I mean, his mind was he wanted to set Israel free, but he was doing it the wrong way and starting this rebellion and doing things that the punishment meant death. He had murdered, he had done things that were wrong. But he didn't face death. He was set free to never pay for his crimes. Instead, now upon a cross, he was watching Jesus die. Jesus had taken his place. Now, this man that I'm referring to, many of you may know, his name is Barabbas, right? When they said, when Pilate's asking, he said, I'll give you someone back. And they said, no, we don't want Jesus. Crucify him. Give us back Barabbas, right? In the Easter story, maybe you've heard that. Now, think about the irony of this situation. The one who was the murderer is now free, right? And he sits there and he watches the one who was innocent suffering on the cross. You see, as I said before, all of us have failed when it comes to this command. All of us, when it comes to God's law, all of us are deserving of death. But like Barabbas, we have the ability to walk in the grace and mercy of an amazing God who loves us, who has given us the perfect example of how to live and how to forgive, right? You see, this commandment is important to God. Why? Because God is all about life, not death. He is all about valuing one another because we were all created in His image, and He desires that all of us would experience life in and through Him. Amen? Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You for this word. And though, Lord, maybe at times as we would look at this word in the past, we think, well, this doesn't apply to me. I've never murdered someone. I've never taken a life. But, Lord, we see this morning that it goes so much deeper. Lord, it goes to the matter of the heart, that we can commit murder in our heart when we have anger and hatred or malice towards someone. Lord, we want to be people who learn to follow Your commands, even when it's difficult. Even when people have wronged us in ways that would make it seem just to the world of why we're angry. But Lord, again, You're one that says, love Your enemies. Forgive those who wrong You. And Lord, we want to be people who learn to not allow these things in our life to affect our relationship with You. We don't want to give the devil a foothold in our life, Lord, to keep us from becoming who You've called us to be, to keep us from living the life that You've called us to live. And so, Lord, this morning I just pray for each of us here. I pray that if there are things in our heart, if there is bitterness, if there is hatred or unforgiveness, Lord, anger in situations, Lord, that You would teach us, Lord, how to give those things to You. And Lord, when those things rise, because Lord, there's times where we get angry, and there's righteous anger, but it's how we deal with it, Lord, that's important. It's where it goes from that righteousness to unrighteousness, Lord, where we begin to take things into our own hands, where we begin to allow hatred and bitterness to come to a point that we become murderers in our hearts, Lord. And Lord, we don't want to be people that even go farther. I think of Cain and Abel, Lord. It started with this anger towards his brother. And that anger turned into the physical aspect of killing his brother Abel, Lord. If we don't deal with these things, we could go to that point, Lord, and You know that. And so, Lord, we want to be people who learn to walk in Your love and walk in Your grace. And when there's issues, Lord, of the heart, that we learn to deal with them, Lord. That we learn to seek Your grace and through the power of the Holy Spirit, because that's how it happens, Lord. We can't do it on our own, Lord. We can't forgive those that wrong us on our own. We can only do that through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. Lord, may we tap into that fire, Lord, into that power of the Holy Spirit, that we can walk in Your grace and Your forgiveness, Lord. That we can put away the anger, that we can put away the sin and the bitterness, that we can get rid of it, Lord. And walk in Your love and in Your grace, Lord. We thank You for the example that You set for us, Lord. You paid the price for our sins, Lord, that we could walk in Your grace and mercy. Lord, may we learn to allow that grace and mercy to flow through us as well, Lord. Speak to each of us today, Lord. How does this scripture apply to us? Where are the areas in our life where we need to rethink how we're living out this command, and may we do it to the best of our ability, Lord, by seeking you, by desiring to love you and live our lives for you to the fullest, Lord. We thank you for these things, Lord. May you just encourage us and challenge us as we learn to walk in you each and every week, each and every day, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.